Hello, I'm Father John Horgan, pastor of Saints Peter and Paul Parish in Vancouver, Canada, and welcome to our series, The Angels of God. Today, I want to talk to you about the angels in the life of our Lord. When I was a little boy, one of the churches near my home had beautiful representations of the choirs of angels. The holy angels were depicted surrounding the altar of the church, painted in a circle, a semicircle, around the apse. And in almost all of the paintings on the walls of the church and the stained glass windows that showed the life of our Lord, there were angels in the background, not just in the scenes of Bethlehem or the shepherds, but also in our Lord's teachings, at the baptism, the agony in the garden, and in many other moments. When I began to read the Gospels, I realized how rich is the presence of the holy angels surrounding and assisting Christ, ministering to him at different times, being named by our Lord in his preaching, but also contemplating with wonder the unfolding of God's plan. The angels were privileged to announce the birth of John the Baptist to Zechariah and to bring the message of the Incarnation to Our Lady. The angels may have been responsible for the star that sparked the interest of the wise men, and certainly they warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod, but to return to their own home by another route. The angels spoke to Saint Joseph, too, reassuring him about his role, his vocation, to be the spouse of the Virgin Mary and the foster father of the Word made flesh. They protected the Holy Family, sending them to Egypt and calling them home after the death of Herod. We find the angels next after the temptation of Christ in the wilderness, when he encounters Satan. And three temptations are proffered to Christ, temptations which characterize the names given to the devil in Scripture as murderer, liar, and accuser. We're told that after the Lord had answered Satan and routed him, the angels came and ministered to him. Now, we don't know anything more about the forms in which that ministry took, but it evokes the journey of the chosen people in the desert, the Exodus journey. For there, too, the angels ministered to God's elect, to God's chosen, and provided them with bread from heaven, the manna. But now the angels minister to the living bread come down from heaven, as Jesus begins his ministry, taking upon himself the sins of the world and engaging in his public life of preaching, teaching, and working miracles. Following these 40 days in the desert, following this time of trial and preparation for all the hardships that would be part of our Lord's ministry, Jesus begins to preach and to teach. And on one occasion, recorded by St. Matthew in chapter 18, our Lord, speaking of little children, says, "Take heed not to despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels behold the face of my Father always." Now this passage is used in the Church's understanding as a proof text, evidence for the existence of the guardian angels. And even when an angel is serving as a guardian for a human being, the angel is still in the presence of God. The ministry of guardianship doesn't take away from the angel's vocation to adore the Lord. How is that possible? How can the angel be in two places at once? Well, remember that the angels do not have bodies. They don't have mass or quantity. They are in a place by thinking of it. So as the angel adores God, the angel is also always thinking about the one over whom he has charge and custody, guardianship. As the angel has guardianship, so he always is praying for us to the Lord God. So Jesus' words about the little child are true. In Matthew 18, verses 2 through 4, we read these words that our Lord spoke. And Jesus called a little child to himself, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Amen, I say to you, unless you change and become like little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, what is our Lord speaking of here? What is he recommending to us? Not that we become childish, but that we become childlike. What are the qualities, the virtues of childhood? Well, simplicity, perseverance, innocence, trust, wonder, awe. These are certainly the virtues of childhood. In children, there is neither false pride nor false humility. We could invoke our guardian angels for these qualities because if they are the qualities of children, they're also the qualities of the angels. Sinlessness, awe, wonder, reverence at the majesty of God, the ability to be fascinated by the beauty and the goodness of God. These are qualities that the angels must delight in us, when they find them in us. And that's why the saints who have been most linked to the angels are those who have retained always this childlike trust, this wonder, this innocence. Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower, doctor of the church, was marvelously devoted to her guardian angel and wrote poems to him to express her praise. Saint Francis of Assisi, the poverello, who had converted from an earlier life of sin to a life of innocence, saw the seraphim bearing the crucified Christ when he received the stigmata. And he is called the seraphic saint because he burns with love for God, and that love inflames others. So the Lord's words about the angels as guardians and about the virtues of childhood should impress themselves on us if we want to be docile to the word of the angel and trust in his care. Jesus also speaks of the angels when he speaks of judgment and justice. In speaking of the parable of the wheat and the tares, our Lord speaks about the angels going out at harvest time. The angels are the reapers. This is found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 41. This story's imagery of the angels accompanying the Son of Man is borrowed from that used by Enoch in describing God's majesty as he dispenses justice. In speaking of his second coming, Jesus once again depicts the angels as heralds of justice and also as the ministers of retribution. And the Son of Man shall send his angels with a great sound of trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This is found both in Matthew 24 and in Mark chapter 13. Now the angels themselves, though ministers of God's judgment, have no foreknowledge of events. They are only bent upon carrying out God's will and fulfilling their stewardship, their diaconia, their service to the Lord. And that's why when describing the events of the last day, Jesus says, But of that day and hour, no man knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. At that hour, it is Jesus himself who will stand before the Father on our behalf. And so he says to us, I say to you, whoever shall confess me before men, the Son of Man shall also confess him, bear witness to him before the angels of God. So the angels wait to see our attitude towards Christ, our disposition to the Lord. They expect us to be faithful, to be true and loyal. And it is only by our loyalty and friendship with the Lord that we can expect to grow in friendship and intimacy with the angels. St. Luke speaks of denying the Lord. He that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. What an awful thought. St. Mark uses the word ashamed in chapter 8 in place of deny, but in both cases we realize that it is an awful thing to be rejected before the angels. That is why the Lord gives us a lifetime on earth in the presence of the angels, in their company, and under their guidance to grow in love and friendship of God. In his exorcisms, in speaking of the devil, the Lord also alludes to the angels. We know that St. Peter, in his first epistle, refers to the devil as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The angels are our protectors against that roaring lion. They are the ones who assist us and join their prayers to ours. Jesus also speaks of the joy of the angels in reference to sinners, something that should give us great hope. I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Luke 15, verses 1 through 10. The joy of the angels should fill us with hope. The angels want to see us benefit from the cross and the salvation of the Lord. And although they may be shocked by our sins, never having committed sin themselves, having always remained faithful, yet they never turn away. They never turn away. Instead, they seek to inspire us to turn back to the Lord, to repent of our sins, to grasp the cross, and to come to the fullness of salvation. We'll be back in just a few moments after our break, and we'll continue to speak about the role of the angels in the conclusion of our Lord's ministry, the culmination of his glory in the days of his passion and death and resurrection. I hope you'll be back with us in just a moment.
If you would like to write to us at EWTN, we would love to hear from you. Our address is EWTN, 5817 Old Leeds Road, Irondale, Alabama, 35210. Or check out our website at www.ewtn.com.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven.
For a complete list of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network AM and FM stations across America, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. The list is updated regularly, so visit often. Again, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. Also at EWTN.com, you'll find out how to listen to us on the web, on shortwave, and in some countries on satellite. You'll find it all on EWTN.com.
We're back with Angels of God, and I'm Father John Horgan, your host for this series. We're speaking about the ministry of our Lord and the involvement of the holy angels. As our Lord's passion draws near, the angels must have watched with great wonder and awe at the unfolding of the Father's plan and the marvelous obedience of the Word made flesh as he accepted perfectly the Father's will and offered himself completely for the salvation of all mankind, that the sins of the world, even unto the end of time, might be forgiven. The angels were present in the Garden of Gethsemane, invisible, unseen by the apostles. They watched the Lord pray in agony. They began to understand from this experience the depth of the sufferings of the Word made flesh. They heard the Lord speak and accept the chalice of suffering, the chalice of pain, so that all might be forgiven, so that all sin might be atoned for. And then we are told that after Jesus prayed in this way and accepted his sufferings, there appeared an angel from heaven, strengthening him. Luke chapter 22, verse 43. Now that the struggle was over, and that Christ had fulfilled the Father's will by this prayer of acceptance, the angels could gather round him to strengthen him, to comfort him, and help him to go forward on that way of sorrow that would end in victory and in glory. As the Passion of our Lord unfolds, the angels are not mentioned either in the night of the trials, nor during the scourging, or the way of the cross, or even the crucifixion. Instead, we find surrounding the Lord the crowds of those who jeered, the holy women who wept over him, his mother, Saint John, Simon the Cyrenian. And in these holy souls, we see the influence of the angels at work. And the angels can help us to contemplate, as we meditate on the Passion, the hidden lessons and truths that will have such immense spiritual value for us. As Jesus met his mother on the way to Calvary, he saw in her the Immaculate Conception. He saw in her the Church purified, made whole, and beautiful. Mary is not only his mother, but she represents his bride, the Church. And so looking upon her, Christ was strengthened to accomplish his mission, to carry out the Father's will. In John, he sees the priesthood that will continue to perpetuate his atoning sacrifice in the celebration of the Mass and the sacraments, the priesthood that will continue to offer the forgiveness of sins even to the end of time. The angels draw us to contemplating all of the characters and figures of the Passion, even as they themselves recede into the background. Christian art has often depicted the angels surrounding the cross, sometimes in postures of mourning, and at other times, interestingly, we see the angels near the five wounds of Christ, bearing chalices in their hands, catching the precious blood in those chalices. Now, those paintings are not historic ones, but rather they are theological interpretations that are very powerful and very correct, very accurate. The angels bear the graces of Christ to the world. They bring forth, as it were, the streams of life-giving blood and water in the sacraments of baptism and the Holy Eucharist. They continue to assist in the worship of the Church in their own diaconia. The angels do not share in the priesthood, but they are ministering spirits who join themselves to the priests of the Church, strengthening their prayer and their praise, and helping the whole community of the faithful that we might receive most perfectly, most joyfully, the gifts of salvation. We do not know what the angels experienced, or whether they accompanied our Lord when he preached to the dead, when he descended to the limbo of the just on Holy Saturday. This is one of the great mysteries of our faith. We do not know what they experienced as they waited, watching Mary in trustful faith as she awaited the dawn of Easter Sunday and the rising of her son. On that Easter Sunday, the angels are present at the tomb, for we read, "There was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards shook and became as dead men." Matthew chapter 28, verses 2 through 4. This angel of the resurrection is a messenger of power, a messenger of God's omnipotence. He comes too as a messenger of purity, for the world is purified by the sufferings and the victorious resurrection of Christ. And so the angel appears clothed in white garments like lightning, revealing in light and in snow his judgment on the world and the presence of the risen one. As we read the accounts of the holy women, we see once again how the angels were present to reassure them, "Fear not." Words full of tenderness and understanding as they sat at the head and the feet where the body of Jesus had been. According to St. Matthew, there was one angel. According to St. Luke and St. John, there were two. But the details of this do not matter much. What is important is the message. Why do you seek the living one among the dead? This is the question of the angels to us, and it rings down through the ages. Even today, they ask the same thing of us. They ask this question of us when we turn away from the Lord and settle for what is less. When we turn towards what glitters, they remind us that all that glitters is not God. Why do you seek happiness? Why do you seek life among things that are dead? Why do you seek God among false idols? Why do you look to things that are lesser than yourself to find happiness? Look to the skies. Look to heaven. Look to where Jesus is enthroned as Lord of the living and the dead. Look deep within your hearts and find there the grace of the triune God. This is the message of the angels to us, to protect us from temptation, to ward away evil, to defend us from harm. Why do you seek the living one among the dead? The angels continue to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus. They do so with the greatest joy and rapture, with wonder and awe, as they encourage us to receive from the Lord the fullness of his gifts and to live his risen life abundantly. In the 40 days after our Lord's resurrection, Jesus continued to walk among his disciples. He was seen by them, talked with them, ate with them. He encouraged them and gave them those teachings that have become part of the sacred tradition of the Church. There is no mention of the angels during those 40 days, but we find them once again in the Ascension, looking up into the skies. The apostles hear the voice of the angels and find two men dressed in white who say to them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up heavenwards? The one who was taken up from you into heaven, this Jesus, will return to you in the same fashion as you have seen him going up." So encouraged by the holy angels, the apostles will return to Jerusalem, there to await the coming of the Holy Spirit, the anointing, which will allow them to preach the gospel of salvation with courage and with boldness. The angels in the life of Jesus appear always then as ministering spirits, caught up in the wonder and awe of reverent love. They inspire in us this same devotion, this same worship, this same fascination with the glory of God. When we come to adore Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, When we come to participate in Holy Mass, the angels surround us, and they inspire us with feelings of wonder and awe. Let us ask the angels to join us as we go to Christ in the Eucharist. Let us ask them to help us to prepare to receive him in his body, blood, soul, and divinity, and to receive him in his word. Let us ask the angels to enlighten us, to take away from our eyes the blinders of sin and darkness, to purify us as once they purified the lips of the prophet Isaiah. Let us ask the angels to direct us ever and always in all the choices of our daily life to Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, Christ who is our Savior and our friend, Christ who calls us to a life of union and love with his Heavenly Father and through the action of the Holy Spirit. It's not enough for the Lord to call us to heaven, to live with him in the next world in happiness and in joy. Jesus calls us to the life of grace here on earth, and he sends his angels to assist us so that we might appreciate more deeply and more joyously the great gifts that he gives us. Therefore, each day, give thanks to the Lord who has called you to be part of his church, who has shared with you his gospel, who nourishes you with his flesh. Praise him in the sight of his angels, and walk always in the ways of his truth. I'm Father John Horgan. Thank you again for being with us for this episode of Angels of God. I hope to see you again next time. May God bless each one of you.